Muy buenas tardes a todos los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas y el satélite Ultrasat 8 y demás.
Good afternoon to all those who are connected through the Amazonas satellite and the Eutelsat 8 satellite, another means of communication. Today, Friday, January 16 of this year, 2026, we greet all the ministers, brothers and sisters in different countries, and also where missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin is. For this occasion, let's read in the Gospel according to Luke, in chapter 21, verse 36 and on, where it tells us, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." To stand before the Son of Man. Son of Man is the title of a prophet. And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple, and at night, he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. There in verse 37, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And on the left, upwards, he writes, starting from 37 and 38, upwards, he writes in a new covenant, being vigilant and watching for God's anointed one. You may please be seated if you're so kind. In this message, being vigilant and watching for God's anointed one, which was preached on May
14
of 2011 in La Florida, Santiago, Chile. It tells us here on page 4, look, it says, the warning that Christ gives us is to watch, therefore praying always that we may be accounted worthy to escape the things that will come to pass, the divine judgments that will come upon the earth, and to stand before the Son of Man. In the message, the unveiling of God, it tells us on page 45, it says, it brings back to the same thing in every congregation. You have make believers, unbelievers, and believers. It's been in every congregation. You find them all the time. Some of them make out like they are believers. That's the worst type. Those are the worst. And then they have those who are actually unbelievers. He won't bother you. He'll just walk away and shake his head. Those are the ones who get up and leave from the very beginning. But those who make believe, say they are believers, that's the kind you have to watch, is those make believers. And then there is some genuine believers. See them three there? There was the unbelievers. As soon as he said, eat the flesh of the Son of Man. Oh, that was it. And on the left, he writes, Son of Man. The others were make believers. They stayed till, just like Judas did, right up to the end. Meaning that we would have them until the end. But then, the real believers, they couldn't explain it. But they believed it anyhow. They went on through the veil. They went on through what? They went on through the veil, which is always and has always been the stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense.
esa porción,
let's see that portion
en donde nos habla
where it tells us
de esto,
about this.
En segunda de Pedro, vamos a ir allí.
In Second Peter, let's turn to First Peter.
En el capítulo
in
dos,
chapter 2,
verse 6,
verse 6, it says, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. See? Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. In other words, they were also predestined to be disobedient, and for to stumble over the word, over the Son of Man. Now, he continues to say, tradition, I am in the message, the unveiling of God, tradition of unbelievers taken away, you see God. When the veil of tradition has been removed, you can see that God is still God of His Word. He still keeps His Word. He is the God, author of His Word, that is hid behind skin veils to others. Yes, that's right. To those who cannot go behind the veil, He is still behind skin veils. Notice, then we become part of Him. As you are the veil that veils Him, you are part of Him as long as Christ is in you, as Christ was of God, because God was in Him, made Him God. And as Christ is in you, the hope of glory, you become part of Christ. He that believeth on Me, the works that I do shall he also. See, you become part of Christ as long as Christ is hid in you. Then it's veiled to the unbeliever. But you know He is in you. You are templing Christ. That's behind the veil, the skin. Then we, because of this veil, the veil again in human flesh hides God, the Word, from the unbeliever. As it is written, see, written, you are written epistles. The Bible says, now, what is epistle? Is a written word. And you are the written. In other words, you read it like this. You, it said, you are written epistles, or you are the word that has been written, made manifest. Nothing can be added to it. You can't say, I am a written epistle, and living some other kind of a something but what this has already wrote, because nothing can be added or taken away. Now, notice, now as read epistles, that is, written epistles, a written word, because that is what an epistle is. You are that temple of God in which He is hidden from the eyes of the unbeliever. You, in other words, behind you is Him. Behind what? Behind that veil of flesh. And that is how it is, notice, with the elect as well. That is how it is with the messenger, and that is how it is with the elect. Now, he goes on to say here in the message, being vigilant and watching for God's anointed one. He continues saying, always, from age to age, and from dispensation to dispensation, the people must be aware of the divine program, and be watching and praying, and also praying for the messenger that God sends them, so that God protects him, because otherwise, what Christ said would happen. I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. In the message, trying to do God a service without it being God's will,
Este fue el que fue predicado.
This was preached on
el 27 de noviembre,
November 27 of 1965.
Aquí en la página,
here on page
49
de esta
versión,
of this version,
nos dice,
it tells us,
vigilen,
watch
cerca llega
how
este
close it gets to that razor edge now,
correcto,
between right and wrong.
Y recuerden,
and remember,
en uno,
it'll fall on one or the other side.
Y otro lado
he circles
circula.
One and he circles other sides, meaning and also right and wrong,
no,
because there is no middle ground. It's either one side or the other side. And he goes on to say, till it comes down sometime like a honed razor between the difference of right and wrong. It's got to be every word of God, not just almost every word, but every word, meaning you cannot take just
una parte de la palabra,
take part of the word
no,
and not the rest.
Hay que tomar,
you must take
palabra,
the entire word, because God progressively gives the messengers when they are ministering at the time in which God has sent them. They are progressively
palabra,
bringing the word as God reveals it to that messenger. And notice, if he has said something
no
that
correcto,
wasn't right,
habló,
or the Holy Spirit said it on purpose there, as we were saying yesterday,
que él nos estaba hablando allí,
that he was telling us
cuando Jesús,
about when Jesus there, Brother Branham was saying there, that he was stating, whoever doesn't eat my flesh or drink my blood has no life abiding in him. And he said that, many times he said that, he said things purposely, he said to thin down the group, meaning the Holy Spirit speaking through that messenger may say things, and then later on he corrects them, and he speaks as God has already shown him. But there are things that he speaks which are revelations, like the one Jesus spoke there, saying, whoever doesn't eat my flesh or drink my blood. Notice that when he brought that revelation there, although the elect there, the disciples, didn't understand it, later on they understood it. He spoke certain things, he says, to thin down the group. Now, each messenger, in the time that he is given to live, while God gives him the revelation of that message that he is bringing, the people grow alongside the messenger, like Reverend William Branham, when he said that the bride would go through, or that multitude of people was the bride who was going through the great tribulation. Now, notice, afterwards, later on, he corrected that. The Holy Spirit showed him that those are not the bride, and that the bride wouldn't go through the tribulation. And he had more light on that mystery regarding that multitude. Now, as a believer, one cannot stay with what that messenger spoke years ago. One has to grow alongside the messenger, because otherwise we would remain in the same position that that messenger was at that time, where God didn't give him more light yet. In other words, one has to continue growing with the messenger and always moving forward, not backwards. And whatever was said previously must be seen in the light of what God has been bringing and showing that messenger. Then, when the next one comes, then he brings more light. It is always God multiplying the prophecy. He, the person, cannot get stuck on something that a messenger brought regarding a certain subject without shedding light, a clear light on what he brought. Now, at this time, notice how God has been giving us more and more and more light, because it is the time of light, of total light, where the light has been turned on, which is the light of the age of the cornerstone, which has been turned on to enlighten us and give us that light, that revelation of what the mystery of the seventh seal is, the mystery of the thunders, the mystery of everything relevant to the rapturing phase. Today, we are in the time of the fulfillment of everything that the prophets spoke. And by that prophecy being fulfilled, God is opening all our understanding and giving us the whole picture of everything, putting each piece of the puzzle in its place. But notice, there are always people who take pieces, let's say pieces, portions of the Word, and place them where they don't go, because the Spirit of God isn't the one in them, but rather it is the same Spirit of the old serpent, the devil, Satan, who takes the Word, who took the Word, so he said not to. See? He took a little portion and in... He puts it wherever it's convenient for him. There is always a reason that, as Brother Branham says there, a reason why the person adds or takes away. There is always something behind. Now, the elect of God goes on, like the disciples there. They didn't understand it, but they believed it and they kept moving forward. They didn't start questioning the veil and say, but how can this man say, I came down from heaven, if we know his parents, and we know where he was born, and we know how he grew up, how can he say, I came down from heaven? That can't, there is no explaining that. But notice, they believed it. And that's how the believer is. He always believes what God is carrying out, whether he understands it or not. Later on, God will open that understanding. Now, notice, here, he's speaking to us about that. That it isn't just a portion of the Word, but rather it is the whole Word. He says, it's got to be every word of God, not just almost every word, but every word. And it's got down today not to Lutherans, not to the Methodists, not to the Pentecostals, but to that honed age. In this age, where the Antichrist anointing is so perfectly, it would deceive the very elect. They will fall on the wrong side if they don't watch it. Like a wedge, watch, be careful, meaning it is the time when the person must be the most careful. Now, notice, here he writes to us in one of the notes in the back, he says, he writes, in this age where the anointing of the Antichrist is so perfect that it could deceive the elect, they will fall on the wrong side if they don't watch it. It has to be every word of God, not just almost every word. I will reread it again. In this age where the anointing of the Antichrist is so perfect that could deceive the elect, they will fall on the wrong side if they don't watch it. It has to be every word of God, not just almost every word. Now, he goes on to say here, let's go back to the message that we were reading. Always, from age to age and from dispensation to dispensation, the people must be aware of the divine program and be watching and praying, and also praying for the messenger that God sent them, so that God protects him, because otherwise, what Christ said will happen, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. And let's continue, we had stopped there. He goes on to say, the enemy has always wanted to scatter the sheep of the Lord, so that they wander like sheep without a shepherd. But Christ teaches us to be united, to be watching for the coming of the Lord, and praying always that we may be accounted worthy to escape the things that are to come upon the earth, the divine judgment, and to stand before the Son of Man. In the message, Desperations, he tells us there on page 7, look, it says, I truly believe that we are on the verge of one of the most mightiest things that ever struck the earth since the days of the Lord Jesus. See? But now we can only be known as an ellipsis. It'll be so humble. See? What man calls mighty, God calls abomination. And what man calls foolish, God calls mighty. See? So now, watch it. See? It'll be so humble that you will miss it. That you will miss it if you're not got the token there to examine it. You see? If they don't have which token? If they don't have the Holy Spirit, if they don't have the Holy Spirit, they won't be able to see it. They will overlook it. And there on the left, he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and he writes above, it'll be so humble. And also here, in this message, on page 22, of this message, Desperation, he also tells us, oh church, rise. And shake yourself, pinch your conscience, wake yourself up in this hour. We must be desperate or perish. There is coming forth something from the Lord. I know it as thus saith the Lord. There is coming forth something, and we better get desperate. It's between life and death. It'll pass through us, and we won't see it. Because that she wasn't selfish, she was given a prophet. The Shunammite woman had a little boy, and he writes there above, Moses and Elijah had a little boy that the prophet had spoke the word of the Lord over. Now, he goes on to say here, we are already at the end time. We are already in the millennium, where the prophecies for the coming of the Lord must be fulfilled. The prophecy of the forerunner was already fulfilled, and the rest of the prophecies must be fulfilled. Also, the prophecies of the resurrection of the dead and the transformation of the living, the prophecy of the two olive trees, the prophecy of the 144,000 Hebrews. Now, he's talking about all the prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. The prophecy of the 144,000 Hebrews, 12,000 of each tribe, the prophecy of the elect who will be transformed, all these prophecies are relevant to this end time. The prophecies that are relevant to this end time, notice, he was mentioning them there, which would have to be fulfilled, and the people would need to be vigilant, watchful, to avoid overlooking those prophecies that would be fulfilled at this end time. On page 306 of the Book of the Ages, edited, here in 306, this is the red one. Let's see, in the other one, in the other version, it would be, let's see the equivalent page here. It will be 303. This would be the page that corresponds to this other book, this other version. Notice, he says here, referring to the 144,000, notice, he says, this is not to suggest that there will be no more names from the tribes of Israel remaining in the Book of Life. For many of these, but not multitudes, through the principle of election, will be in the Gentile church age and come into the body of Jesus Christ, showing that their names did indeed remain in the Book of Life. Also, as we will show, according to the fifth seal, multitudes of martyred Jews will be given white robes and eternal life by the Lord. Also, the 144,000 will be sealed at his coming. When what is fulfilled? His coming. They were not sealed before because his coming had not been fulfilled, not in the time of Paul, nor Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, nor Luther, nor Wesley, nor Reverend William Branham, nor Dr. William Soto Santiago either, because his coming did not take place. But at this time, by his coming taking place, they are sealed there, which is that prophecy that hadn't been fulfilled in past times. it would be fulfilled at this time, at his coming. He says, at what? His coming. And there on the right, upwards, he writes, the 144,000 sealed when his coming is fulfilled. And at this time is when all those prophecies, including the one of the Hebrew people, would be carried out, would be fulfilled. Now, he continues saying, proving that their names were not deleted either. But it, even as most accurately set forth in Psalms 69, that it is the wicked or unrighteous rejecters of Christ and the destroyers of his people whose names are removed. And there he writes names removed. That is the section where, from where they can be blotted out, which is the section of the Book of Life, as Israel, chosen people of God, in majority forfeited their rights in the Book of Life by rejecting Jesus. So, the majority of the Gentile church will also come into condemnation with the result removal of their names from the Book of Life by rejecting the Word and thereby entering into the world ecumenical movement, which is the image erected unto the beast. Now, notice, by rejecting what? The Word. By rejecting the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. Here in this other book, on the left, he writes the image of the beast. Because they automatically enter and they are marked by the beast. He says, by rejecting the coming of the Lord, by rejecting the Holy Spirit incarnate, then they obtain the mark of the beast, and they come to join that world church council. Now, he goes on to say, and it's easily understood that they are relevant to this end time. What is relevant to this end time? Those prophecies that he mentioned there, the resurrection of the dead in Christ, and the transformation of the living, the prophecy of the two olive trees, the prophecy of the 144,000 Hebrews, the prophecy of the elect who will be transformed, all these prophecies are relevant to this end time. See? These are the ones that are relevant to the time of the age of the cornerstone. And it is easily understood that they are relevant to this end time. Why? Because they were not fulfilled in past times. So then, what is left is the golden age, the age of the cornerstone, the age where all the prophecies relevant to this time will be fulfilled. In the Book of Quotations, on page 153, paragraph 1369, he tells us, this is a trembling time. Where are we at? This word is coming to life now. And he writes above, the word is coming to life. And on the right, he draws a cornerstone in the ages. And on the left, a cornerstone in the ages as well. And the arrow towards the cornerstone. This word is coming to life now. And he says, it's being fulfilled. Meaning, that word is being materialized when the prophecy is brought, but it isn't fulfilled at that time in which the messenger spoke it. Well, it will be fulfilled later on in the next messenger that God rises up. As simple as that. And he goes on to say, and God will quicken them. He will make them a reality. What? Well, those prophecies that were spoken, and God will back that promised word and perform it, and he will prosper it, and therefore he will prosper all those who will be working so that those prophecies are fulfilled. They are always fulfilled among the people who believe. It won't be fulfilled among unbelievers. It has to be fulfilled among believers. And who are instruments for God to bring those prophecies to fulfillment. Now, he told us there, in the Book of the Seals, what we mentioned at the beginning, that they believed, even though they didn't understand. Look, he speaks about this in the Book of the Seals, where he shows us that one must believe first, meaning one first believes.
286,
let's look there. Yes, page 286, look, it says, they could be big enough to be simple enough, they could find him in that direction by being simple, but as long as you're going toward wisdom, you are going away from him. Now, let me get that so that you won't miss it. As long as you're trying to find God by wisdom, like it was in the Garden of Eden, see? Like it was in the days of Moses, like in the days of Noah, like in the days of Christ, in the days of John, in the days of the apostles, and to this day, when you try to figure it out and try to find God by wisdom, you are going farther from Him all the time. You're trying to understand it. There is no way of doing it. Just accept it. See? Just believe it. Don't try to understand it. And he writes there, to accept equals to believe. And he also writes, don't try to understand it, just accept it, believe it. To accept equals to believe. Don't try to understand it, just accept it, believe it. They notice those people who try to find God by wisdom. That is, they try to understand Him by wisdom. And he says there, there is no way of doing it. Just, he says, accept it and believe it. That's why he said, it would be so humble, so simple, that if people were not watchful, they would overlook it, would be overlooked by people. Now, he goes on to say here, for example, in the time of Moses, the prophecy said that at that time God was going to deliver his people, which was in bondage in Egypt. There was a prophecy in Genesis chapter 15, verses 12 to 19, and therefore, the person who would be the instrument for that work had to appear, and so did the people who would help him, his helpers. Now, look, in Genesis, it tells us about this, and Brother Branham tells us there that Abraham also had to believe in order to have the fulfillment of that promise of that son that he was going to have. Look, on page 11 of the message, proving his word, he tells us here, also, we will take another. For just a moment, Abraham was another prophet of the Lord that the word came to and told him when he was 75 years old and Sarah was 65 years old that he was going to have a child by Sarah. Now, that was quite a shock to an unbeliever. You could imagine that such a thing happening even in this day with all of our scientific achievements and all these test tube babies that they talk about and so forth. But this old woman, now of 65 years old, and an old man of 75 years old, but the word of the Lord came to Abraham and told him that this was going to happen, and Abraham believed God. No matter how much God spoke and how true it was, Abraham had to believe what God said to make it so. He had to what? To believe, in order to make it so, in order to manifest what God had spoken to Abraham. And that is how it is with the promises at this end time. An elect of God must believe in order for those promises to be materialized, to be manifested in his life. Now, look how that man was tested with his testimony that he did believe. That same man that made that confession that he believed God, he is a person like you are sitting here tonight. We still believe God. We got to believe his word is the truth, and he will prove it that it is the truth. If we just believe it, God will vindicate it at this time. And truly, the people will say, this was what I was waiting for, my transformation. And thank God that I believed it with all my heart, everything that you said, that would be the fulfillment of the tenth vision, where the rapture in faith would be given. And here it is. That word materialized by me receiving that eternal and glorified body. Whoever didn't believe it, but instead tried to understand it by wisdom, seeking to understand it by human wisdom, that person will say, but I instead fought against the tenth vision. Instead, I threw mud. Let's say, I threw mud at it. In other words, those are the mockers. Those are who criticize and everything, smearing, throwing mud at the work of God, the fulfillment of the tenth vision. But look, at the end, who ends up with dirty hands? The person who threw the dirt is the one who ends up with the hands full of dirt, mud, grime. It is the fulfillment of the prophecies being materialized in the elect of God who have believed it. As for the rest, well, they will remain with their hands dirty, and they will remain dirty, and they will have to go through the great tribulation. Now, notice on page 13 also, he tells us here, a bit further on that we read, in the message proving his word, it says, if his children will only take his word so he can prove it by you, that's the only way he can prove his word. He doesn't prove it to the unbelievers. They cannot be proved. They are unbelievers. That is why you cannot try to prove to an unbeliever the promises that God spoke and the prophecies that he spoke through the prophets of old, the past ones, who God already took, and they were not fulfilled at that time. And at the time in which the person is living with a messenger that God has raised and a message that God is bringing. Let's speak in terms of this time. Notice, you cannot prove to those unbelievers who are still stuck in past times. And at this time, well, they are in the part of Laodicea. They are at the bottom. They didn't come up. And you cannot try to prove to those who are at the bottom of the mountain. You cannot prove the word to them. In other words, the prophecies that were spoken and are being spoken, you cannot prove it to them. It cannot be proven to them. He doesn't prove it to the unbelievers. See? You cannot try to prove it to the unbelievers. We have to let them do their work as well. For which, as we read in the scripture of 1 Peter, which they were already, what? Appointed, predestined. He goes on to say, it is to him that believes. See? What it is for? For those who believe. And if he can find somebody who believes his word, he will prove his word by you. And sometimes sickness and things happen to us that way, that God can prove himself. Do you remember the blind man that Jesus found? They said, who sinned? He or his father? His mother? He said, in this case, neither, but that the works of God might be made known. See? It happened to the boy so that Jesus could be glorified. Sometimes sickness is not a curse. It's a blessing that we can stick our faith out there and call those things which are not as though they were. God said so. And he will prove it so, if you'll just not weaken under the test. We cannot weaken under the test. Instead, we're going to show our faith there. Now,
sigue diciendo,
he continues
vamos
here.
A ver aquí algo.
Let's see something here.
Miren, un poquito más
look,
ahí,
a little further on, he goes on to talk about Job there.
Una vez él pudo probar
he
a
could
Job,
prove Job one
no
time that he wouldn't curse him to his face. Look at the trials that Job went through.
Dijo,
but down in the very jaws of death, and yet said, the Lord gave, the Lord taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. He certainly believed it. God proved his word to Job. He proved it to Abraham. He proved it so. And he continues speaking along that line. Let's continue a bit further. This message is very important too. Look, it says, also he proved it by Moses, and when Moses, when the difficulty was so against him, Moses had it in his mind that perhaps to be a deliverer, that his mother had probably told him that he was born a proper child. She was his tutor that raised him up in the Pharaoh's palace. No doubt had told him, son, we have prayed that we'd be delivered, and we believe that you are the child that God will use to deliver. And when he come up and was to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and we find out that he was to be heir to the throne. There he wrote, Moses, heir to the throne of Pharaoh in Egypt. Why, no doubt it was in their mind then that he would become the next Pharaoh, and that's how he would deliver the people, by being the next Pharaoh. But God had a... If that would have been so, then he would have done it through a material, through an act of politics. But God doesn't always work like that. Now, notice how God hid that deliverer in the very house of the Pharaoh himself. And notice how God tried Moses as he tried all the prophets, and later, upon believing what God had spoken, they put that faith into action, and God fulfilled through them that promise that God had given. Now, look, it continues to say here, in this message that we are reading, being vigilant and watching for God's anointed one. It goes on to say, therefore, because it was during that time when Moses was on earth, God prospered that word. He prospered the instrument and those who helped him to carry out that work. That was in the time of Moses. And also, in the time of Solomon, notice in the construction of the tabernacle, Moses had there the people who supported that work in Solomon's temple as well. He goes on to say, it was a work of the Holy Spirit through Moses, and those who were hand in hand with Moses, who were greatly blessed. That is how it has been at all times, and therefore, that is also how it will be in our time. In other words, that is how it would be at this end time, where the last messenger, the Benjamin of the prophets, would be in the midst of the church, and the people of God, the elect of God, would stand hand in hand with him for the fulfillment of the prophecies that were not fulfilled in past times, such as the fulfillment of the tenth vision, such as the sealing, or to seal the 144,000, such as the establishment of the Messianic kingdom, all those things, the resurrection, the transformation, the rapture, all of that would be manifested, fulfilled at this end time. It is the word being quickened, being brought to life, in other words, to fulfillment. And that is why we have to be vigilant and watching for God's anointed one. It has been a great privilege for me on this occasion to speak to you in this Bible study on the subject, being vigilant and watching for God's anointed one. Let's leave missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin with us to continue, and then we will have Reverend William Perez to close with a song and then with a prayer on this occasion today, Friday, January 16th, of this 26. Year, 2026. May God bless you
y les guarde
and keep
todos
you
y
all.
Todos.
And have a great
noches.
Evening, everyone.